Welcome in to the New Orleans Saints podcast. You'll hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and writers that cover the NFL on a daily basis. The New Orleans Saints podcast starts right now. Here's your host, Aaron Summers.
Welcome into the New Orleans Saints podcast. I'm Aaron Summers. It's been a busy week for the Saints as they've been all over the place at several different pro days. Starting here on Tuesday, Tulane held their pro day. Lots of members of the Saints coaching staff were there, including new wide receiver coach Keith Williams and assistant wide receiver coach Denarius McGee. On Wednesday, everyone moved over to LSU, where they held their pro day on campus. There was head coach Dennis Allen, GM Mickey Loomis, AGM Kai Harley. A lot of the defensive coaches actually ran some of the drills at the combine. So defensive coordinator Joe Woods, linebacker coach Michael Hodges, they were both helping those position groups, the DBs and the linebackers, run through their different individual drills. Overall, every single NFL team was represented, including head coaches Brian Daboll from the Giants, Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce, and Dan Quinn from the Commanders. It was a really popular event, especially because quarterback Jaden Daniels, the Heisman Trophy winner, didn't participate in the actual NFL Combine. He said that he wanted to wait to throw at LSU because he wanted to showcase his teammates. One of those teammates, a couple of those teammates, he got to throw to in wide receivers Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. Both of the receivers slated as first-round picks. Daniels could go two or three. Nabers, he's been tossed around as high as four. It's going to be between him and wide receiver out of Ohio State, Marvin Harrison Jr., as to who goes fourth or fifth. We got a chance to talk to all of those players, including LSU head football coach Brian Kelly, and I got a chance to catch up with NFL Network reporter Cameron Wolf, who was on hand for LSU's Pro Day, part of NFL Network's coverage of various Pro Days throughout the country and leading up to their coverage of the NFL Draft, April 25th through 27th. Here's my conversation with Cameron, and then we'll break down more of what we saw at both of the Pro Days and hear from some of the players. Cameron, thank you so much for joining me on the New Orleans Saints podcast. I feel like we've been waiting forever for this day so everybody can see quarterback Jaden Daniels finally perform. How are you doing? How was Pro Day for you?
It was great. It was great. This is a star-studded group. You know, you talk about Jaden Daniels, but you also have Malik Nabers. You have Brian Thomas Jr. You have Mason Smith. A lot of guys who are going to go in the first round, the second round. But Jaden Daniels was obviously the star attraction here, and we've waited a long time to see him throw. He didn't throw at the combine, and he had a great day. I talked to one NFL coach that said it was very, very good. I talked to Jaden after, and he said, I missed a couple of throws. You're always trying to be a perfectionist, right? But he's going to be a top three pick in this draft, and he said he believes he's the best quarterback in this draft. And so I thought today we got a chance to see him do more than just use his legs. A lot of people believe that he's, you know, just a dual threat quarterback, right? He can throw inside the pocket, and he showed that today, threw at every level. And I think whatever team he's going to get to, if they have him in the right system, he's going to be able to win with his arm and his leg.
A lot of people will always talk about what they've seen on film, but combine that with what you saw here today, do you feel like he's left it all out there? There's nothing more we need to see or know about Jaden Daniels?
Absolutely. I think that you already saw on tape what he did in college, and I think you want to see how it translates to the NFL. And you saw some routes today where those are NFL throws that maybe wasn't in the LSU playbook, and we got to see that. We got to see him do under center, which they don't do a lot of in LSU. Those are things he may be asked to do in the NFL space. I think he answered a lot of questions of that respect. Can he do those elements? And then he came in at 210 pounds, which I think was important for him, because maybe one of the questions is he too slight of a frame? He took a lot of hits at LSU. How does that look in the NFL?
He needs to protect himself.
Right. Right, and so I'm sure wherever team he gets drafted is going to work on him with sliding and learning to protect himself. But 210 pounds, that's the NFL quarterback size. And he looked it, too. Got a chance to meet him. He didn't look like this scrawny dude that everybody is putting notions on, right? And so I think Jaden really helped himself today. And then one thing I like to see just walking around, I love just kind of his demeanor, right? He didn't do any of the 40 drills today, but he's out there cheering on his teammates as they're running the 40s. He's having fun with these guys even during his workouts. And then afterwards, he's telling me he's faster than Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. So he's got that fun franchise quarterback spirit. And I think whoever's going to get him is going to get a star.
you talked a little bit about who he is as a person and the fact that he opted to perform here because he wanted some of his other teammates to be seen by all of the scouts and NFL personnel that are going to be here. Just how unique is that?
It really is unique because you're seeing more players empower, have used the power, player empowerment. And so when I say that, they're being able to control how they go about this process. They don't feel like I got to be forced to go in the NFL combine because that's what everyone does. I think that it brought a lot of attention here. People who may have just been coming here to Jaden, maybe they saw something in Malik or Brian or Mason or Makai or some one of the other guys that got them on the board. And so I think that says a lot about your quarterback that, hey, he wants to put the spotlight on everyone. And I know for a fact his work ethic, his leadership, those are things that teams rave about him with. Antonio Pierce, his former head coach in Arizona State, I talked to him a little bit ago. He said his leadership, his calmness, his football intelligence are things that people don't talk about as much with him. And I think that all goes into like something as simple as I'm going to wait till LSU so all my other teammates can soak it up.
Hey, a lot of people around here are like, Jaden Daniels should go number one for sure. I don't know if that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. However, he's definitely helping himself maybe solidify that number two pick. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens. But there are a couple other LSU players that are going to go in the first round mentioned wide receiver Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. How much did they validate what people have seen of them or think of them?
Yeah, let's start with Malik. I think he had an amazing day. He ran a 4.35. He tweeted out it should have been a 4.28.
Yeah.
He had one bad time before it's regardless, fast.
Yeah.
He's super fast. And he didn't run at the combine, and so it was a chance for him to check that box. He looked fast on tape. He tested fast. No worries. And the thing about Malik that really stands out is that he's a dog. That's a term I've heard from several people, a GM, an NFL personnel guy, even Steve Smith, who works with us at NFL Network. That's the first thing he told me about it, Malik Nabers. He said, dog. Mm-hmm. And so you see his ability not only to have the dog in him, but also the yards after catch ability. He's explosive. He's having that competition between him and Marvin Harrison Jr. about who's the number one receiver in this draft. Mm-hmm. Teams I talk to say it's more split than you think. It's not just Marvin Harrison 1 and Malik 2. A lot of teams have Malik number 1, and so I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first non-quarterback off the board for a team. You know, maybe Arizona at 4. If all the quarterbacks go top 3, maybe Arizona's at that spot there. And then Brian Thomas, I think that he has unlimited potential.
Mm-hmm.
He's his size is incredible. He ran a 4.33 at the combine. He's a 6'3 guy, and I think he can tap things in the next level that he maybe didn't get asked to do at LSU. Mm-hmm. He was more of a vertical guy there. I talked to NFL personnel who think he can do more in the horizontal frame. And so he could be a guy where right now he may not go as high as Malik, but he could be one of the better receivers in years to come.
Any other players here that, in speaking to some of the people that are here watching, kind of stood out or maybe helped their draft stock a little bit?
Yeah, Mason Smith, I'd say the defensive tackle, he's a guy who had incredibly bad luck. Coaches, he's had probably 10 different coaches through a variety of issues through his time here. Has some injuries as well, but he's a guy who's on top 50 on Daniel Jeremiah's board. He's a guy that I talked to NFL personnel, and they're like, man, he's huge. Man, he's strong. It's like he pops when you see him. And he's a guy, if you get him in the right defensive line room, you get him well. He's a five-star kid coming out of high school. I think that he could be a real player, and he looks the part. There's a lot of defensive tackles in this draft who maybe slightly undersized or bigger, and he's the quote-unquote perfect size you want as a defensive tackle, and then you just got to put it all together. So I think he's a guy that, you know, second-round guy, maybe he sneaks into the first round because of the defensive tackle depth, lack of defensive tackle depth in this draft. And so I think he's a guy that really helped himself today. I watched him do the drills.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving right. They work him hard in these drills, and for a bigger dude to see him do it the fifth, the sixth time and still have high intensity at 28 reps on the bench press, I think he's a guy who helped himself.
Yeah, those defensive line drills are probably the most intense and physical that I've seen. They were definitely getting after it, so that was fun to watch. The bench press.
Mm-hmm.
There was 30 reps done. How many can you do?
For 225, it depends on what I ate that morning. What my I can probably pound out about 8 or 9. That's where I am now. Maybe 5 years ago, I could have gave you 12 to 15. But right now, my bench stamina is not great. I think I hit chest day last week was the last time. I hadn't been in the gym in a little bit. And I did do 225 there. But I think I hit 6 reps max. I probably can get 8 to 9, I would say.
There you go.
So that's a screaming kicker punter numbers for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was really impressive. The linebacker, he was just throwing it up. So it was fun to watch that as well. I know you're tapped in across the entire NFL, just kind of from a Saints perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Going into this year with a completely different offensive staff, how do you feel like that's going to help improve what they're able to do with quarterback Derek Carr?
Absolutely. I think it's a new look. You know, you saw it a lot last year. There was some chemistry you have to work out, right? And for whatever reason, it did not gel as great with the previous staff and with Derek. And so you bring something new in, and maybe it gives a fresh air for Derek. It gives a fresh air for the rest of the guys, for Chris, for Alvin, you know. And I think that that's what you need sometimes. The defense has led this team for a couple of years, and so you bring a new energy. Sometimes new is the only thing you need. And so I think they'll add some more talent in the draft, and then we'll see how they move forward. The NFC South is become more competitive. We've seen Tampa win the last 2 or 3 years here, and then you see Atlanta go out and get Kirk Cousins. Carolina hired a new coach. And so I think this division, with the Saints a part of it, is going to be a lot more competitive than people think.
We are counting down to the draft, April 25th. Where else are you going to be?
Yeah, so this is my last pro day for the season. I will go head home back to Miami, and then I will be at a city for the draft. They usually give me my assignment a couple weeks from now, and I'll go to a team that either needs a quarterback or is in the top 10, and I'll be there for the week. And so who knows? Maybe I'll be in New Orleans.
Yeah. We'll be looking out for you and your coverage. I appreciate the time here today, and I'm sure we'll cross paths with you at least sometime this next season.
Absolutely, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate Cam for jumping on the podcast, spending a few minutes with us, breaking things down there. As we talked about Neighbors, he ran a 4.35 and had a 42-inch vert. Afterwards, Daniel Jeremiah, who also works for the NFL Network, called him the most explosive player in the draft. Linebacker Omar Spates was the one who I referenced that had 30 reps on the bench. Defensive tackle Makai Wingo wasn't far behind him because he had 28. And then safety Andre Sam, he had the best 20-yard straddle at 4.25. There were a lot of really impressive performances. It was fun to watch the players interact with each other. You could tell how much they support each other. They were cheering for each other. Afterwards, we got a chance to talk to Daniels about that support and how important it was for him to actually go through everything at LSU rather than at the combine.
Yeah, I would just say the main thing was just trying to show my consistency within the pocket and my footwork, moving off platform, in rhythm, you know, progressions coming back to a third read, you know, just move around and make sure I get my feet back under me. And the other stuff was kind of just fun, you know, it's just something that we do. We out there having fun, you hear the music playing, you know, you're out there having fun, you know, the deep ball, that's kind of the show. You know, show that my guys, they got the speed, you know, they could track the football. I could go out there and put it out there for them.
Jaden, at the combine, you said you weren't going to participate until pro day. That way you can shine the light on your teammates that didn't get an invite to the combine. And all day you've been cheering them on and being there for them. Just how much it meant to you to do that for them, and also wearing Greg Brooks on your shirt. How much did that mean?
It meant a lot. That's, you know, obviously if Greg was here, he'd be a part of this. So he's not here, but, you know, he's there in spirit. I'm here to rep him. You know, my teammates that didn't get an invite to the combine, obviously they had multiple eyes out here, all 32 and more. So it was great for them to go out there and showcase the talent, showcase how they move, and, you know, write their own journey. You know, they get an opportunity. You know, I know they're going to crush it.
And here's LSU head coach Brian Kelly on just the opportunity that some of these players have here at these pro days and what somebody like Jaden Daniels will bring to a team.
Yeah, that's what pro days are for, right? I mean, these are the opportunities to not only use the film that you have, but, you know, to back it up with the athleticism. They both had great days. You know, Makai was great, obviously, in the shuttle, and, you know, his short – you know, quickness, short field quickness is obviously one of the things that you see on film. And now, you know, back that up with the skill. Omar ran extremely well. I thought all the guys tested extremely well today. I think Charles had a hamstring issue, which limited him in some of the position work. But across the board, I thought the guys did a great job. They were in great shape. They've trained real hard. This is important to them. You know, we want our guys to graduate. We want them to do well in school. And then now this is the other part of it. And that they were very well prepared.
Hey, Coach, so Jaden Daniels, obviously, we know what kind of player he is. And he's putting himself in a position where he's at now. But just see what he was able to do today and just represent Greg, wear the number three, and just pay tribute to him, which just kind of speaks volumes, I guess, as far as what kind of leader he is, what kind of teammate he is, right?
Yeah, again, I think it goes to the kind of character that he is. He's thinking other-centered, He's thinking outside of just Jaden Daniels. He's thinking about one of his teammates that he holds in high regard. And that's the way he's been since he's gotten here. You know, whether it's, you know, sharing the success that he's had, you know, with, you know, NIL, you know, he took care of the team with headphones. I mean, it's just these little things that he does that maybe doesn't get appreciated, but he's always thinking about his teammates first. That throwing that we saw today, he brought in, you know, teammates so they could get a chance to be seen today in front of a number of scouts. So, and maybe that's maybe not the reason you do that, but it was for him. You know, he wanted to showcase some other guys today, and he certainly did that. But that's Jaden Daniels.
What questions have NFL teams had for you about Jaden, and what has your message been to them?
You know, it's interesting. there's very few questions about he can't do this or he can't do that. I think it's more, will he slide? will he get down? I think that that's, and my, what I said to them is, look, you have a guy who's incredibly tough and competitive. No one more so than the guy that I saw get hit in the Alabama game and come back the next week out of the concussion protocol and set an NCAA record the next week. That, to me, speaks to his toughness, and he's a smart guy. He's figured this thing out. So that's been really the biggest question. It hasn't been anything about, you know, can he pick up the safety reads? Can he, you know, pick up blitz protections? Can he do those things? They see that on film. It's, coach, will he protect himself? And I'm sure he will.
Neighbors was another fun one to talk to. Lots of energy. He brings it on the field, but across the board, he definitely stood out to everybody in attendance.
I was just trying to showcase my talent, you know, showcase my dog mentality that I have that everybody knows, to come out here on the pro day and just to shut it down. You know, I didn't do everything at the combine. So, you know, I know everybody was, you know, wanted to see what I was going to do here at the pro day. I've been up since 5, so, you know, I've been ready to go at it. You know, I woke up in the morning, I knew something was going to be special. So I wanted just to follow right behind that, you know, and just do something special today.
On Tuesday at LSU's Pro Day, we got a chance to talk to quarterback Michael Pratt. He was somebody who did compete at the Senior Bowl and participated at the Combine. He spent his entire collegiate career at Tulane, which is very rare considering the transfer portal and how many players are jumping around. And last year for the Green Wave, he had 2,405 passing yards and 22 touchdowns. Wide receiver Jaquan Jackson also on hand. He also participated at the Senior Bowl and in the Combine. Defensive back Jarius Monroe, he was the Shrine Bowl defensive MVP this year. That's where he started gaining a lot of traction in the draft. He was able to participate in the pro day and go through all of the testing and the drills that you would at the Combine and get a record of those stats for him. Offensive guard Prince Pines, another big name from Tulane that participated, and the kicker Valentino Ambrosio, he hit a 52-yarder during the kicking portion at Tulane's Pro Day. Let's hear from quarterback Michael Pratt and wide receiver Jaquan Jackson.
I think it's just another opportunity to come out here and throw the ball and, you know, showcase what I can do throwing the ball, but then also how I interact with the guys. You know, just the camaraderie that we have, you know, shows our relationships together. And just, you know, it's just another opportunity to come out here and play football and have fun.
It went great, you know. We've been working for this opportunity our whole lifetime just to get this opportunity to play on the next level, you know. We work hard, you know. It was kind of crazy from us going to our facilities all across the state and then just getting back with Pratt like 2 weeks ago just to get the chemistry back down. You know, we've been talking about other quarterbacks. So, you know, as you can see, we went great. It's a blessing to be here, you know. Finished my career at Tulane and just happy to be here.
For more coverage of Tulane and LSU's Pro Days, you can head to NewOrleansSaints.com as we continue to count down to the draft April 25th through 27th. We will have a ton of coverage on the podcast. We'll take a look at the other teams in the division and what they may be looking for, different position groups of need. And of course, we'll be talking more about what the Saints will be after as well. So stay tuned. wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it's Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, we're there, and especially on NewOrleansSaints.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Saints podcast. Join us 3 times per week on NewOrleansSaints.com, the Saints mobile app, or you can download the podcast on iTunes. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Saints podcast.